This is the log of Magnus Carter, scientific observer aboard Space Force. We had reached the vicinity of Jupiter in the outer solar system when Lodrick, who was keeping watch at the forward televiewer, reported that an alien ship was traveling alongside. Two figures, clad in spacesuits, left the craft, drifted over to the Space Force, and forced us to let them in. They held the crew at gunpoint and instructed us to put our ship into a new orbit. We were to travel to their mothership, which lay at anchor 500,000 miles away on the far side of Jupiter. If we refused, they would kill the ship electronically and leave us in it.
Bearing in mind your threat to kill our ship stone dead and have us entombed in it,
yes,
we'll willingly comply with your demand and put Space Force into a new orbit.
Good.
But in order to do that, we must ask both of you to leave our ship.
If we leave it, we kill it. Why can't we move it, as ordered?
We can. But when the rockets fire, the force is enormous. All crew must be strapped into their takeoff couches. Anyone not doing so is liable to suffer serious injuries.
Ifwa will use a couch.
Ifwa?
She will stay and guard you.
But we don't have a spare couch, that's what I'm saying. Ifwa could suffer a terrible injury. You'll both have to go back to your own ship.
Ifwa will stay.
There isn't room.
Room will be found.
But
one of you will give up your takeoff couch for Ifwa.
And where will he go?
He will come with me to my ship.
But to change speed and course, we need a crew of four.
Tell Ifwa what to do.
What, in 5 minutes? That's impossible. No. You'll have to leave the ship. That's if you are serious about our moving to the far side of Jupiter.
One of you will move, as Ifwa will say.
But I just explained, I can't spare anybody, not in a tricky operation like changing orbit.
You, your name.
Magnus.
No, you can't.
Put on your pressure suit. You will come with me. Now. Commander Saxon will instruct Ifwa how to crew change of orbit.
But you don't know the risk you're taking.
That is my choice.
Very well. Lodrick, start checking motor and fuel.
Yes, Saxon. So much for talking him into leaving the ship.
Well, at least we got rid of one of them.
Poor old Magnus.
Oh, they'd have taken one of us anyway. It's just as well it's him. It's not so useful as a crew member. Who knows that? I get the ship ready.
I'll operate the airlock for Magnus and Treya.
Space Force. An interstellar encounter starring Barry Foster, Nigel Stock, Nikki Henson, and Tonia Soba. Episode 4. The Time Ship.
Hello? Saxon?
Hearing you, Magnus.
Safety aboard the alien ship. And you don't see it. Extraordinary.
You can tell us later.
I certainly will. I've never seen anything like it. The trailer wants to talk to you.
Put her on.
You will follow us. Keep close behind.
No. This ship doesn't operate that way. I need to know the exact orbital angle to aim at. We can fire the motors only when we're in position.
And when will that be?
I can't say until I know the target position on the other side of Jupiter.
Ifwa will give you all that information.
I see.
Tell me precisely what you need to know.
The exact position of your ship, its orbital speed, and distance from the planet's surface.
Computed.
That was quick.
What does it say?
We reach apogee in 25 minutes.
No, that's not long enough. We'll never be ready.
You must. You have no choice.
I'm telling you, we need
to... Do not dispute with me. Begin work.
25 minutes.
Begin working or I fire.
You can't threaten me.
Roderick, do as they
say. No, Saxon, they can't force me.
But we can.
Why, you...
Roderick, watch out. The gun.
I'll get it.
Careful, Chipper.
No!
What have you done to him?
Stand back or I fire.
No, Roderick, stay still.
I'm not going to let...
Roderick! You keep calm.
What's happening, Ifwa?
They're attempting to attack me.
You are hurt?
No. They have little strength.
I will report this to the control.
Say they are unarmed, but you dangerous.
You all right, Chipper?
I think so. I banged my head on the televiewer. She packs a punch like a mule.
Are you surprised? 7 feet tall and the physique to go with it. That was a stupid thing to do, Lutterick.
Sorry, Saxon.
Lucky for you, Chipper intervened.
You're flung across the cabin for my trouble.
Next time, I will shoot.
Don't do anything like that again.
I couldn't help it. She made me mad.
Well, you can work off some of that aggression by getting the ship ready for orbit change.
Check the motor and fuel supply.
Ifwa.
Yes?
I'll show you how to operate the safety straps and position your couch.
No. I will take care of myself.
But I...
You are not to be trusted.
Good try, Saxon. I wonder how Magnus is getting on their ship.
You can take your helmet off in here. The air is breathable.
Thank you. Tell me, do all people where you come from have silver hair and silver skins?
None of us has either.
But you...
The silver is straight on. It's a protection against radiation.
Ah.
Without it, the skin would discolor, even burn, and the hair and hands too.
So what is the true color of your skin?
It is much paler than yours.
And your hair?
Yellow.
Yellow?
I've never seen anyone with dark hair before, nor dark skin. Is the color applied by the wearer?
Oh no, it's natural. A natural protection against sunlight.
The rays from your sun are strong enough to do you harm.
Not from here, they're not. The sun is nearly 500 million miles away. But on Earth, where we come from, it's only 93 million.
You the rays come from the Jovian planetary system.
No.
Then who is Arecibo?
Arecibo? Arecibo is an old radio telescope that used to operate down on Earth.
But we came to Jupiter to find him.
To Jupiter? Why?
When we pinpoint the direction of the message, it was in this region of the sky. Jupiter is the largest body, so we travel from our star system.
You're from another star system?
The nearest to this one.
Alpha Centauri?
We come from Corsair.
Where?
Corsair, the planet. It orbits the star you call Alpha Centauri.
But that's more than 4 light years away. How long did it take?
Wait. What's that? Risk communication to my ship. I have requested the information you require. She advises that the time taken to travel from our star system to yours was 1/12 of the Jupiter year.
1/12? That's about 1 Earth year. 1 Earth year? To travel 4.5 light years?
Including acceleration and deceleration, actual travel time could not be more than a few seconds.
What?
To break through the time barrier.
Hello, Magnus. Space Force calling.
Oh, hello, Space Force. Receiving you.
We're about to fire the motors.
Motors will fire in 20 seconds.
Well, good luck. We'll keep an eye on you.
Keep out of the way. Could be one almighty crash.
Presumably, we also have to change orbit, Leia.
Yes.
Well, shouldn't we prepare for it?
There is no need.
But surely, when the motors fire and G increases...
Acceleration is gentle. You'll hardly feel it.
Then Space Force will pull away from us.
Briefly. Ship accelerating. We shall overtake your ship in 15 minutes and arrive at the mothership in 19 hours.
Slowly and gently, the little ship gathered pace and swept across the galaxy. After we had passed the Space Force, I spent the journey gazing through the televiewer, observing the terrifying faces of Jupiter's minor satellites. From the tiny, irregularly shaped Almathea, hardly more than a lump of rock, to the larger, smoother, shiny surface of Europa, covered by a layer of ice 60 miles thick. But the most terrifying sight was the close-up view of Io, whose orbit is so close to the planet. The interior of Io is constantly on the boil. There is hardly a moment when a colossal volcano is not spewing red-hot debris hundreds of miles above the satellite's surface. By constantly ejecting its red-hot interior onto its own surface, Io is slowly turning itself inside out. I had totally lost myself in the contemplation of Jupiter's fiery and icy children when Treya tapped me on the shoulder.
Look back in the center of the frame.
That bright circle of light.
That is our mothership. Bring her closer with the zoom control.
It fills the whole screen.
Bigger if you want.
Is that a ship? A spaceship?
A starship.
It must be colossal.
It is average for this type of vessel. We shall soon be there.
How do you slow down?
We have been doing so for some time.
But I didn't see you do anything.
We are completely under the mothership's control. We home in on her beam. She serves this town. She brings us into the landing dock. It is all automatic.
That makes Space Force appear primitive.
How will they slow down to enter the landing dock?
Saxon will handle it. With considerable help from the computer, of course.
Ifwell must not come to any harm.
The starship was as tall as a skyscraper and as long as an ocean liner, its hull being round like a submarine's. Towering high above it was the superstructure, tall, almost as long as the hull, but only half its thickness. We entered smoothly, easily, and came to a halt at our mooring. After donning our helmets, we stepped out onto the mooring platform and crossed it. Passing through the airlock, we found ourselves inside the great ship. There, we waited for Saxon and the rest of the Space Force crew.
Saxon! Over here!
What a ship! It's extraordinary. Large enough to accommodate a whole town.
The technology of these people is beyond belief. How did Ifwa react to our primitive efforts?
She didn't like it very much.
Are they all here?
Do you know where they are to be put?
Great living area.
It's not far. We can take the trap and eat them.
Keep close together. Do not attempt to get away. Follow the clear corridor with a silver line.
Where's that?
Entrance over there. We start on the slow platform, change over to the faster one.
How much further?
We are close now.
Who are the people we keep passing?
Members of the starship crew.
Why are they dressed in colored suits?
Different colors indicate their trade. The colors of the corridors indicate the ship's area.
What do these colors represent?
In this area, mostly domestic. Gray, living quarters. The addition of silver indicates flying crew's living quarters.
All flying personnel are dressed in silver.
Yes. Claire explained to me.
We are now in the gray living area. There's a third door on left. This is where you live. You will remain here until sent for.
Where are you going?
To the briefing room.
And what happens to us?
We must go.
Well, surely you can tell us what's
going on. Silence. Sound fair.
May I ask one question?
Yes.
All the personnel we've seen aboard this starship appear to be women.
There are no men aboard this craft except you.
You mean of all the thousands of crew on this ship, there's not one man?
None.
But how about back home, you know, where you come from?
Of course I am.
You must have men there.
I have never seen any.
But there are thousands of you.
Can't fail.
Just a moment.
If you need anything, ask Jenny.
Who's Jenny?
She has been appointed to look after you.
You mean she's here in this apartment?
All queries must be addressed to her. We will see you again.
Hey, wait a minute. There's something else. Open up. I haven't finished. How do you get this door open? Did you see how they did it?
It just slid open, apparently, of its own accord. I don't think it's meant to open. Not for us.
I suppose not.
Not to worry, we can ask Jenny. Claire said she was here.
Where?
Well, in this room, I suppose, the living quarters.
Pretty sparse for living quarters. One room with four chairs in it. Are we supposed to sleep on these things?
There's nowhere else that I can see.
Here, we think these different coloured buttons are.
Why, you press one and find out.
Here goes, then.
There. Well done, Chipper. Can you put the lights back on, please?
Sorry. There. I'll try this one.
What's that? You've opened another door to another room.
It's a bedroom.
Great area service.
Oh. Huh. You made me jump.
Can I help you?
How did you get in here? You weren't there a second ago.
And who are you?
I'm Jenny. You called me. You pressed the service button.
Oh, well,
can you get us something to eat?
Very well. I will fetch you.
Wait, and something to drink, too.
Of course.
She's gone.
That's an incredible thing I've ever seen. A real person appeared from nowhere.
Not just like my mother. Gone the next. How's it done?
I wish I knew.
Beautiful girl, too.
Watch out, Saxon.
What the...
Jane.
Did you see where that came from?
Well, it seemed to come out of the wall.
Here comes the food.
That was quick.
It was delicious. Do you think we should try it?
Well, it's either that or we starve.
Right. I'll start.
Hmm.
Oh, it is delicious. Try it.
Oh. What a change after our rations.
This drink is good, too.
Try some of this. What is it?
I don't know.
It's like pork.
Really tasty.
Of course, it may be some sort of Centaurian serpent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think so?
Dipper? You're not eating.
I was thinking.
What about?
That girl who came in here.
What about her?
So beautiful. Where did she come from?
She appeared when you pressed that button.
Just like Aladdin's genie. You press the button, she appears.
Aren't you going to eat anything then, Dipper?
Yeah, I'll have a little bit of that, thanks.
Well, anything Chipper doesn't want, I'll have. I've never tasted such good food.
You summoned me?
Yes.
You would like the table removed?
Yes.
Stand clear. Is there anything else?
Well, if you could tell us something about this place, we'd be...
What do you wish to know?
Well, what's likely to happen to us, for a start?
You will be examined and categorized.
Mm-hmm.
You will then be taken back to Corthia, or cast adrift, in your own vessel. How else did you expect to be treated?
Like human beings.
If your classification is high, you might be taken to Lochtan.
What happens there?
That is where all Centaurian males are banished to.
Whatever for?
To work.
Work?
As slaves.
We can't be slaves.
Unless you are lucky enough to be classified in the primary category.
Which is?
Breeding. Centaurian civilization may be all female, but it still has to reproduce. There are very few men lucky enough to be selected for that purpose.
Lucky? Sounds like hard work to me.
Oh, no. They lead a rich and easy life. Receive the best food, best living conditions.
Sounds rather dull, then.
Excuse me, what are the chances of being selected as a breeder?
Do not get a mistaken impression of breeding. The chosen males are merely donors.
Oh.
There is no direct contact with any of the women.
What do you look for in a donor, then?
Not me, the council. To be a breeder, a male must have a supremely high intelligence quota, good physique and disposition.
Oh, I see. Do you think that we would...
No, it is unlikely. You do not even have the simple ability to communicate telepathically. Except you, Chipper.
Hmm.
And you can hardly be said to have the physique.
Oh, I don't know.
What about his IQ?
His examination will reveal that.
And where does this... Where did she go? She just vanished again. I don't understand. How does she do it?
Though Jenny appeared in our common room, looking like a real three-dimensional person, she was in fact nothing more than a projected image. Even so, she carried a charm and personality that conquered us all. But especially Chipper. Whenever she appeared, and he pressed the service button on the least excuse, he spoke to her gently and warmly. She also had a special tone of voice for him, which affected him deeply. Soon it was obvious that Chipper was falling in love with this apparition, and to our consternation, the apparition appeared to be encouraging him. Then one time, Jenny appeared without being called.
You must all be ready for transfer to another part of the ship.
Where are we going?
To meet Voedica.
Who's she?
Commander of the starship. She wishes to see you, especially the Space Force leader.
Uh-huh. It's about time I met somebody of my own rank and status.
Remember, you were also her prisoner.
That's difficult to forget. Where does this Commander Voedica reside?
On the far side of the starship. You will be escorted.
Naturally.
And remember, when you're interrogated...
Interrogated?
Yes. Remember, you must not...
What?
Another time, here comes your escort. Be humble and respectful before the way to go.
Yes, but what were you...
Come with us! Now!
Very well. Okay.
Good luck.
We were taken through a number of moving corridors and carried upwards in the general direction of the front end of the ship. We must have climbed to about half the height of the superstructure when we reached the outer door of an airlock. We passed through and found ourselves in a huge chamber, the nerve center of the starship, its very brain. On a raised platform to one side sat a woman. Like all the Centaurian women, she was very tall, but appeared considerably older than any we had seen up to now. This was Voedica.
Tell the Jovians to sit down.
They are not Jovians, Highness. They are from Earth.
Which is their commander?
I am. Commander Saxon Berry.
Is what you see on the screen the planet you hail from?
Yes, it is. A remarkable picture.
It's three-dimensional. How can they achieve such an incredibly close-up view?
Is that where the Arecibo message came from?
Yes.
We thought it came from Jupiter.
No. Earth.
Earth is such a tiny planet. We thought it too small to be of any significance.
It's a world full of life.
And it must be the only one in this whole system that is.
More than likely.
How disappointing. Those little unmanned ships that have been flying around Jupiter, are they from Earth, too?
Yes. Sent here to investigate your radio signals. But they all died.
Earthers are doing. We render their equipment useless.
You did that to our ship, too. The Space Force. Why?
We did not expect to find anybody aboard. But life is what we came looking for. So we are glad to have found you.
And now that you have us, what do you intend to do with us?
That depends on the result of your interrogation.
We were
you,
told...
What is your name?
Huh? Me?
Of course.
Shipper. Shipper Barney.
Take him down to interrogation. Return the others to their quarters.
Yes. Oh, no. Saxon!
Wait a minute. If one goes, we all go.
Take him away.
Very well.
No, come with us.
Let away!
Help him!
You better...
Stand back!
Stand back or we fire.
Get the gun! Help! Oh, what have you done? You've killed them.
Disobedience will not be tolerated.
In that episode of Space Force, Chipper was played by Nicky Henson, Magnus by Nigel Stock, Saxon by Barry Foster, and Roderick by Tonia Sober, with Teresa Stretfield, Wendy Murray, Jenny Twigg, and Lolly Cockrell. Space Force was written by Charles Chilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.